Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all the past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into Chit Chat Cafe Live, and this show airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe, Lisa, Nancy, and Betty Ann.
Hi, everyone. It's time for Chit Chat Cafe Live. Oh, a great time to chit chat. Tonight, we're live from New York and New Jersey. Great show tonight. We're very excited. We've been waiting for a long time to have the iconic race car driver, Mario Andretti, and Candace Cameron will be joining us later, the star of the ABC's TV hit show, Full House. Lisa and Betty Ann, wasn't that a great time yesterday in New York City?
Yep, we had a good time. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. It was great. We were able to meet with Laura Geller, and we have a new sponsor to our show, Laura Geller Makeup.
Yeah, we're really lucky.
It was really wonderful.
She's a real, real sweet lady, really generous, fun. I mean, she's just so down to earth. Everybody in her whole studio. Johnny was adorable and sweet. Morgan, what a nice group of people she has working with her.
We can't wait to go back and get some more baked products and spackle and bright and glow everything. Lots of fun.
I love her makeup.
Up.
Yes, yeah. The spackle's the best.
We love
spackle.
I know. We love to wear the eye spackle and everything. Just take away
face
our
face spackle.
That's right. Well, it was a lot of fun seeing you girls yesterday. It was fun to go to high tea.
We went to tea at the Carlisle Hotel. For anybody that's never done that, it's so refined. It's a fun thing to do. You should try it at least once in your life. Tea time is usually generally between like 2 and 5 o'clock, and you go and you sit at a pretty little table, and you pick out your selection of loose tea, and they put it in, you know, fancy china cup, and, you know, you have all little cakes and pastries and scones. Wasn't it fun, girls?
That was great fun.
Yeah,
I had never
cool
been
experience.
To high tea. I really enjoyed myself.
That was
it's
a beautiful
It's a little
place.
Pricey for what you get, especially at the Carlisle, because that's like Princess Diana used to stay there. It's like a really top-notch hotel, but it's fun to do.
Lots of fun. Well, I can't wait to talk to our first guest. How about you?
No, I can't wait either.
Let's
well, I'm
going
to introduce them because I don't want to waste any more time. I'm sure there's nobody that's listening right now that's never heard of our next guest, our first guest, actually, Mr. Mario Andretti. He's a Daytona 500 winner, Indianapolis 500, Formula One World Championship. He's taken checkered flags 111 times. He's got all kinds of successful businesses going on now. Without any further ado, welcome Mr. Mario Andretti.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa, Nancy, and Betty Ann. Thanks
this
for having me on
really
Chit
cool
Chat.
To have you here. This is really an honor, I have to tell you.
Thank you.
We're going to get to your racing with Nancy, because she's a racing
Nancy's
pro.
The one that's the gearhead?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay,
I'm not the gearhead, but I'm interested in your other businesses.
Okay.
You have a lot of businesses going on right now. You have a wine business, a winery.
Yeah, that's one. That's probably the most fun and the one that produces the least amount of cash.
But you're having fun testing it out, though, right?
yeah, exactly. No, it's, you know, the wine business is what we started. I started back in 1995, and you know, it's been a great, great, great ride, if you will. I have a great winemaker. In fact, that's really you know, the best part of it, and I'm very proud of what we bottle. We have so many varietals. We cover the spectrum of all the popular varietals, and again, yeah, we're in New York as well, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. We are in 48 states, so we're widespread, and. And again, just something that I thoroughly enjoy because you know why? Because I drink the stuff.
Did you, what do you prefer, white or red?
No, I always start a meal with white wine, usually the lighter fare, and, you know, with the hors d'oeuvres and so forth, and I always end up with red, whether it's Sangiovese, whether it's a Pinot Noir, or Cab, or Merlot, you know, whatever really dictates for the main, for the entree. So, and, you know, people ask me the question, you know, which varietals do you really prefer? And the standard answer is actually I'm plagiarizing my winemaker, Bob Pepe. I said any given day, it's like my kids. Any given days, I like one better than the other. So there you have it.
It depends what you're in the mood for, right?
Right.
Tell us about your other businesses. What else do you do?
Well, we have a petroleum company on the West Coast, and we own a series of gas stations right along the Northern California area, and also, you know, we have we're suppliers of fuels, and you know, the rest is really I work with global companies such as, you know, Bridgestone Firestone and mm-hmm. Izod and Magnaflow Exhaust and so forth. Mm-hmm. On the business side, we also have a racing experience, the Mario Andretti Racing Experience that's based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And that's for Indy style cars and stock cars. We also have indoor facility in Roswell, Georgia, you know, which is indoor go-karts, but also other, you know, video games and so forth. So we're, you know, pretty well maxed out in that area, if you will. And that along with, as I said, with my commitments with certain, you know, companies, you could see that my plate's pretty full.
Oh, very much. That's good. That's good to keep busy. So tell us, how old were you when you first started racing? Like, what made you, were you always interested in racing as a child? Or
yeah, I became interested in the sport when I was still in Italy at, you know, as a very young teenager, you know, when I just turned 10, you know, 11 or so. And it just captured my imagination, really. It's that simple. That never changed with me. It just got stronger and stronger. And when we came to America in 1955, I was 15 years old, and opportunities picked up almost immediately, you know, to pursue this. And I started racing in 1959. And my last race, competitive race, was in year 2000. So basically, I raced in, five decades.
Wow.
I was very fortunate, obviously, to be in the sport for so long, and it's been, the sport has been, you know, nothing short of fabulous for me. I pretty much achieve every one of the ambitious goals that I set for myself, and I couldn't ask any more than that.
What did your parents think when you first started racing? Did they give you a hard time because they thought it was too dangerous?
Yes, exactly that. Especially my dad. You know, he was not interested in the sport, obviously. And the only thing that he ever, you know, really paid attention to was news about fatalities. You know that, and unfortunately, early on in those, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even. It was all too popular, you know, to have, you know, drivers killed, and because mm-hmm. the safety was not, you know, nowhere near what we're enjoying today. Mm-hmm. So that was his concerns, which was obviously legitimate in many ways, but he did not understand a passionate, my twin brother Aldo and I were about it. So it took him a little while to figure out that, you know what, this is what the kids are going to pursue, and then of course he became a very staunch supporter of everything that we did. Then he was wondering why we're not winning every race, actually.
Then he got too into it, right?
Yeah, he got into it too much.
Did you ever get in a really bad crash?
Oh, yes. But I dodged a lot of bullets, you know. I've been, as I say, lucky. I've had broken bones and all those sort of things. And I don't think, you know, it can be in the game for as long as I have without, you know, having some of those experiences. But at the same time, ultimately, I only missed two races in all the years that I raced, you know, basically in around 40 years because of injury. So I'm one of the real, real lucky ones, and I know it, and I know it, and I count my blessings every day because of that.
What goes through your head as you're driving so fast around a track? Like, what are you thinking? Just to stay steady, or, like, what's going through your head?
Well, when you're obviously competing, that's all that's on your mind. You know, your job, you have 100% commitment and concentration, you know, to what you're doing. That's no time to have your mind wander about your bills or anything else, you know.
Right.
Again, that's all important. And the objective is, of course, you know, to be ahead of the pack. And what you strive for, that's what you fight for every second of the way, and that's what keeps you plenty busy, I can tell you that.
This is kind of an odd question. Can you get life insurance as a race car driver?
Yeah, you can get life insurance, but you pay through the nose. Obviously, it's term insurance, and I always had it because I wanted to protect my family, of course, like I said, you know, for a price, you can probably achieve anything. You get anything, as you can imagine.
Hi, Mario. This is Betty Ann. How are you?
I'm great, Betty Ann. Betty Ann.
Betty Ann. It doesn't sound like an Italian name, but I am Italian.
Betty Ann.
My name's Elizabeth, so that is my nickname. But my father's family's from Sicily.
Oh. Okay.
And, we're Sicilian. And my husband is half Italian and half Croatian.
Oh, let me stop you right there. Actually, the town of Montona, where I was born, is Croatia now. And that's the reason why we are in the States, because after the war, the land where I was born, Istria, was occupied by Yugoslavia, hardline communism, and so we left. The family left, abandoned everything because he didn't want to succumb to communism, and so we were actually in a refugee camp for 7.5 years in Lucca, Tuscany. But the point I'm making, I'm now the mayor for life. Honorary, of course, of the town of Montona, which in Croatian is Motovun.
Okay.
And your husband would probably know it's right in the middle of the peninsula of Istria.
Okay.
I visit that from time to time. It's a gorgeous little area. Of course, the entire peninsula of Istria is fabulous. I mean, that's a dream vacation spot anywhere. Just to give you background, I know, you know, that's my area.
Oh, that's just amazing. It's interesting how, you know, just a little bit of a border, you know, you go from one country to the next. True. And of course, because of the war, you were in Croatia, and then you ended up in Italy.
Well, it was Italy, and then it was Yugoslavia, and then Croatia. See,
it changed hands a lot of times.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's
yeah.
After the war, things were so messed up and confusing, and you never knew which flag you had to fly from
one
day to the next, you know. But we maintain our Italian citizenship. That's our, mm-hmm. you know, that's basically our ancestry, and we didn't want to give that up. And so that's why we just left. And again, you know, not only us, I mean, there were like 350,000 people from that area that left, and they immigrated all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I was driving Formula One, I was obviously driving in, you know, I drove in four continents, and almost everywhere that I went, whether it was South America, whether it was Australia, Europe, anywhere in Europe, in Asia, I would always meet somebody from our area that it's amazing, you know, how we...
It is amazing. I know what you're talking about, though, because I know my grandmother was a twin, and when she left, they were in Sicily. When they left, her twin ended up living in Argentina, and my grandmother came to the United States. So, you know, with my father and my...
Yeah, many immigrated to Argentina. We found actually some... in fact, I'd race in Argentina quite a bit, and in fact, I even won the Argentina Grand Prix, and there was always, there were a couple of families from actually Montona who lived in Buenos Aires. You know, it's like I said, it was amazing to all of a sudden. We always say the cliche, you know, that small the world is, and indeed, you know, I experienced that.
Yes, it really is. It really is. I just have one more question for you, and then I know Nancy's really anxious to speak to you about racing because she's a race car enthusiast. I wanted to find out that now that you're retired, do you miss racing? I mean, do you still feel the need for speed, so to speak?
Well, yeah, that never leaves you, you know, and I love my driving so much that you always feel that, gosh, I wish I was, you know, 20 years younger and all that. I still dabble in it, you know, in some ways.
Okay.
Like if you watch IndyCars, they probably mentioned that I drive a two-seater car, which is sponsored by Izod, and actually I'm on the Honda program. It's called shophonda.com. It's on the, a commercial, a TV commercial, where you can enter that contest and win a ride with me starting a race. Actually, I'm the first one.
Ooh.
Yeah, I even did it in Indianapolis. I'm the first one to go with a passenger behind me, flat out on a hot couple of laps, you know, before they give the green. So it's, you know, it's a good ride. It's exciting. It's I think it's a great experience for any race fan to see what it's all about. So you can see that I dabble in it, you know. I'll never be away from the sport as long as I have breath in my body, you know. So,
well, it's
and I have a, you know, I have a son that owns, you know, a team in IndyCars with four cars, and I have a grandson that races for him, Marco, who is, you know, he's won a few races already in his young age, and he's very promising talent. So, as you can imagine, you know, my interest is still totally there because of all the reasons that I'm telling you.
Well, think it's very exciting. And Mario, I'm Nancy Bartie. I'm just a huge race fan.
Thank you, Nancy. You're the gearhead, right?
Well, I don't know about gearhead. More of a racing enthusiast. Growing up, my brother, Don Sanslow, raced stock cars on the East Coast for over 25 years, and my husband used to race drag strip, and I know that you've done both.
Yes.
And so with your racing, I know that you've won races in sports cars and sprint cars and stock cars on drag strips and even oval dirt tracks. Did you have a favorite?
Well, let's put it this way. I enjoy, you know, being able to drive so many of the disciplines that I did. And, you know, the dirt track racing, it's not obviously as popular now as it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you know. But it was an exhilarating experience to drive on those tracks. And then, but I went to the extremes, you know, as you can see, sports cars, stock cars, and Formula One. Probably, As far as the pure enjoyment of driving, the purest enjoyment was my Formula One driving, because that's probably the most sophisticated of the racing cars in our world, and that's what I fell in love with, you know, as a young lad, Formula One, and to be able to drive there and win the World Championship was really truly one of the my most ambitious dreams that came true.
Well, I actually watched that race. That was in 1978, correct?
Well, yeah, 78, but it's a whole season, not just one race. I mean, that the World Championship consists of an entire season, you know, which was 19 races.
And I also loved it when you won the Indianapolis 500 and the Daytona 500. What did you think of Pikes Peak?
Pikes Peak was, I'll tell you what, it's just like, it's so different than anything else. It's like when you're trying to describe Venice to any other city in the world.
Right.
Pikes Peak is standalone, and, you know, it's probably one of the most dangerous races, at least it was then, because there was no protective guardrail. In some areas, actually, believe it or not, if you went off course, you could go down 2,000 feet, you know, before you reach bottom. And so it was, you know, it was one of those tough events mentally, because you had to really restrain yourself and be aggressive only to a point. And actually, when I won it, I took so many chances that I said to myself before I even came across the finish line, I said, if I win this thing, I'm not coming back here.
Right.
And you never know if you want it, because it's on time. You see, that's how it's, your measure on time. It's you don't go directly against the competitor. You every minute, you know, one competitor goes, and that's really what it is.
And what speeds would you go, say, for example, on the Pikes Peak race?
Pikes Peak, the highest speed was maybe 130, which is really, really fast on those narrow roads and so forth. And we reached that speed in the area called the Devil's Playground, which was halfway up the mountain, just about as you get to the tree line. But believe me, 130 miles an hour there was like 230 anywhere else.
Exactly. So out of all those races, Indy, Daytona, you know, even South Africa or Watkins Glen, a Sebring, did you have a favorite track?
Well, I did in some ways, but I can only, the best way I can express that is that any track where I won a race would almost instantly become a favorite. So any given day, I had that favorite one, and that's like I said, there's no other way for me to describe it.
Well, you have been a delightful guest tonight. We have many more questions for you.
I want to ask you a question before we do.
Okay, go ahead.
I got to ask you, Mario, what kind of regular car do you drive?
Well, I have a couple of cars. I usually love to drive my sports cars, and
you have a Porsche, a Lamborghini.
Well, I have that Lamborghini, I have a Celico, and I have a ZR1 Corvette, and that type of thing. So
cool.
I treat myself.
Hello. We'll be with you in a minute. Okay. Well, and also, we also want to know, do you have any special traditions or superstitions before you go to the racetrack?
Well, I don't know how to define that. I mean, it's, you know, when you're in this type of business, sometimes I have some of the stupid little things, like I always enter the cockpit of a race car from the left side, just like you go up on a horse, and, you know, things like that, that I, you know, for some reason I thought I had to do that, and if a fan gave me a Sharpie that was green, I would not sign the autograph. I said, you got to give me a black or blue or whatever, any other color, and I don't know why, It was stupid, but it's just one of those things that you hang on to, which is, again, when you talk about it, it's ridiculous.
Right. Well, we have just been so delighted. It's been wonderful to have you as our guest, and we hope to have you join us again on our Chit Chat Cafe Live show. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Will you come on again?
Thank you, Mario.
Sure.
Will you join us again?
Just invite us.
We will. Good night.
Thank you
so much.
Night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye,
Mario.
Well, we are going to thank our new sponsor, Laura Geller Makeup. And Betty Ann is excited to introduce our next guest.
Yes, I am. Tonight we have a special guest who is near and dear to everyone's heart, I'm sure. She starred in the ABC hit show Full House as DJ Tanner. She's also the National Ambassador for the National House of Hope. I would like to welcome Candace Cameron Beret. Hi, Cameron.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you?
Did I pronounce Candace? I'm sorry, Candace. Did I pronounce your last name correct as Beret or is it Beret?
You did, Beret.
Beret. Oh. I'm so excited to have you on the show. I can't even tell you.
Thank you.
It's been nice to have you here tonight. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm just in the middle of it all with my kids. I'm at hockey practice and just juggling it, but glad I was able to scoot away for a few minutes and chat with you guys.
How old are your children?
They are 13. My daughter's 13, and my boys are 11 and 9.
Okay. Do they all play hockey or just your boys?
Not my daughter, just my boys.
Okay. All right. You know, because the girls, they like to play the field hockey. I know my daughters played field hockey when they were, you know, younger. But so let's get down to your acting career. How young were you when you first entered the world of acting?
I was 5. I started commercials when I was 5.
Okay.
And did some guest spots on television shows. And then when I was 10 years old, I got the part of DJ on Full House.
One that we all remember dearly. In fact, I had the television on, actually, I think it was yesterday, and I was flipping the channels, and there you are.
Yeah, still on
DJ. It's on all the time. I mean, generations and generations will be watching it forever because it's just, it's a wonderful show. How old were you when you got the part as DJ Tanner on Full House?
10.
Okay. And
yeah,
how long was the show filming?
8 years.
Wow. That's just amazing. Did it feel like a real family when you were together with your castmates filming?
Definitely. I was with them for 8 years and grew up with them, so they definitely were a second family to me. I mean, not just the cast, but the crew also and all
mm-hmm.
the people I worked with. It was a great time.
Do you keep in touch with anyone on a regular basis, like Jodie Sweetin or Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen or Dave Coulier or Bob Saget or any of the others?
I do. I keep in touch with just about everyone from the show, Bob and Dave and John and Jody and Lori and Scott.
Mm-hmm.
I think I haven't talked to the Olsen twins in quite a few years, but other than them, I keep in touch with everyone on a regular basis.
Wow. Well, I guess since you grew up together, I mean, what was it like growing up in front of a camera? I mean, because they were like your major growing years, you know?
They were. And, you know, it was kind of my whole life, so it felt comfortable. As crazy as that sounds, it was kind of natural for me because I just had been doing it for so long, and I always enjoyed it and
mm-hmm.
have admired the whole process of it, and even enjoyed, before I was on Full House, enjoyed going to the set on my brother's show, Growing Pains. And so, I mean,
there were years
where it was a little bit awkward when you're growing up and going through puberty, but for the most part, I mean, I really enjoyed it.
Well, did you have your first kiss on Full House, like your first you know.
I did have my first kiss. I had never kissed a boy in real life, and then they wrote this kiss into the show one time, and of course it's just a quick little peck, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, that was my first kiss on television, and I didn't know what to do, so.
Was that, like, really awkward to do that for the first time in front of a camera? I mean, did you feel self-conscious about that, or was it just, like, no big deal, you know?
It was completely awkward, especially knowing that my mom and dad were standing right there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was in the script, and it was something I had to do, so it was the acting part, so
mm-hmm.
so I just did it. I couldn't think twice about it. It was what it was, but totally awkward.
Oh, gosh, that's funny. Do you have, like, a favorite episode, or were there, you know, a few? Like, is there one that sticks out in your mind as, like, the favorite one that you did?
There really isn't. I mean, we did 194 episodes, I believe.
Well,
there were,
yeah.
I mean, it was 8 years of my life. I don't have a favorite one because I don't even remember, to be honest with you, every episode from the first year, probably. I mean, I could watch it and then recall it, like, I remember that. But, it's just like, you know, it's asking you, or, you know, just, do you remember every day of work? And it's like, it's hard. I don't, and it was so many years ago, too. But we just, I have so many wonderful memories, and we had a blast on set. So there's memories that stick out in my mind, but as far as favorite episodes, I was just always excited when I had a lot of stuff to do. So if it was a DJ specific episode, I would get really,
mm-hmm.
really excited. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember the one, I think it was in Disney, where you were princess
uh-huh.
for the day.
That was Michelle. That was the princess for
okay,
the day.
That was Michelle. I remember that
yeah.
one. But did she get lost or something? I'm trying to remember now. And everybody was looking for her.
I think so.
Okay.
I don't remember. I'm sure you can have people call in and they'll tell you every detail of the episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when my girls were younger, I remember we watched every show. And now I'm trying to, like, pick through my memory of the different, you know, shows. But did you ever have, like, laughing? You know how, like, people get into hysterical giggles and they can't stop? Did that happen a lot when you were on set?
It did, probably more often than it should have. But we, you know, between Bob Saget and Dave Coulier, we were laughing all the time on the show. And
mm-hmm.
so, yes, I've had those. And on other movies that I've done, too, it's very difficult once you start giggling and you can't stop.
Yeah, you start giggling. And it just, it has a life of its own.
Exactly.
It keeps going. Well, can you tell us about some of the other shows and movies you've been in?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Kurt, I'm on a show right now. We're just starting our third season. We're going to start filming in November. I'm on a show
mm-hmm.
called Make It or Break It. That's on the ABC Family Channel. And
okay.
And then I've had a few movies out. One that it's actually just became available on DVD at Walmart. It's exclusively
okay.
sold at Walmart, and it's called Truth Be Told, and that was with David James Elliott. That was a really fun,
okay.
cute family movie. It was part of Walmart and Procter & Gamble's family movie night. So that is family-friendly for all ages, and I'm sure you'll all enjoy that one. And I have a new Christmas movie coming out that will be on the GMC Network on December 4th.
Okay.
That is based on a true story about a little boy that had leukemia. It's a bittersweet Christmas movie because it's sad, but it's inspiring, and there's a lot of hope within it. So, check that one out on December 4th.
Oh, definitely. Now, I heard a rumor that you might make an appearance on the musical TV series Glee. Is there any truth to that?
There's no truth to that. No, I think because John Stamos was on it for a
mm-hmm.
while, and I think I tweeted him and said, hey, like, I want to come to set and hang out with
mm-hmm.
all of you guys, and I think that started a rumor that I was going to be on the show. But But no, I have not been asked to be on the show.
Well, if you do, I think it would be great. You know, because
it would be
love
cool.
To see you. Now, I know that you have three children. Mm-hmm. Are any of your children interested in acting, or are they doing any acting today? Would you encourage it if they wanted to?
The answer is yes. My daughter is acting. She just kind of started up, and she had done a little bit a couple years ago, and then she took a break for a year, and now she's just mm-hmm. starting back again. And I'm encouraging her because she wants to do it. It's nothing I would try to talk my kids into, but if they had a passion for it and enjoyed it, I feel confident and experienced enough within the industry that I can help mm-hmm. navigate, you know, any of my children if they wanted to do that, so that they would have a successful and enjoyable experience like I did. So I'm definitely supportive of my daughter trying to go for it. For us, it's not about the success. It's certainly not mm-hmm. about the money or anything like that, but it's no matter what my kids do, just like my boys in hockey and with school, I just want them to work really hard and do the best that they can do. And if they succeed in it, then that's great. But I think it's all about just, you know, it's about valuing themselves and the effort that they put into everything that they do and just working hard.
Yes, I totally agree with you on that. Now, you are an author, and you have a New York Times best-selling book entitled Reshaping It All. Can you tell us about that, your book?
I'd love to. It is a motivation for physical and spiritual fitness. So I talk a little bit in this book about my journey, about food and fitness and how that's played into my life. But ultimately, I kind of had a revelation in my life when I put my faith into the forefront of my relationship with food. So in mm-hmm. a sense, it was about, you know, seeing myself and my body and my image through God's eyes, and mm-hmm. and then also treating my body well, because it's a holy temple. God gave me this body, and I have to be disciplined to take care of it, just like I'm disciplined in other aspects of my life. You know, with my talents, to do the best that I can do with what God's given me. And so the book is really a motivational tool for the reader to help you get on track. It's not a weight loss book, and mm-hmm. it's not a new exercise routine, but it's a book that will motivate you and encourage you and kind of be like a cheerleader alongside mm-hmm. you, keeping you on track to get to your goal, whether that is weight loss or it's just being more fit and having a healthier, you know, eating habits or healthier lifestyle.
Well, that's wonderful.
Well, Candace, I'm Nancy Barty, and I have to agree with you that, you know, it's God's temple, and putting the best example to not only your children and yourself, but everyone that looks at you. So I just applaud you for writing this wonderful book.
Thank you so much.
Now, I'd like to ask you about your mission trip to Africa.
Oh, sure. It was a few years ago. That was my very first mission trip. I went with my mom, and then a dear pastor friend of mine whose church is in Memphis, and then with his team. And we went there for 10 days to this little village in Ghana called Saboba. And we basically ministered to the pastors. The pastors had come to this little village. Some had walked for even days to get the teachings and the tools from our pastor and some of us, just to be examples of how they can further their own ministry within their villages. And we also had brought a dentist and a doctor who did medical exams and pulled teeth. And I got to... We invited the kids to come every day after school, and my mom and I basically ran like a vacation Bible school, a little VBS each afternoon for these kids, and taught them the Ten Commandments and read the Bible to them basically, and we sang songs and did all kinds of fun stuff. So it was a big eye opener for me, and also just was an incredible experience. And, you know, I just took my family, my husband and my children, we all went to the Dominican Republic just 2 months ago. And with Compassion International, an organization that we support. And that was the first missionary trip that I got to take my children on. And that was quite an experience and something I just recommend to so many families out there if they have that heart for missions. Is, you know, it doesn't even matter what age your children are. I think the younger they are and the sooner they're exposed to different parts of the world and to see how different people live, and that not all of them have the comforts that we have here in the United States or in North America. You know, it changes you. It affects you, and that's a really good thing.
And I love your websites, especially clicking on your journey with your faith. I am also on your same journey and just love sharing my faith with others. And I just am very proud of you for that. You're a very good witness. Do you happen to have
Thank
a favorite Bible verses? I think I read Matthew 28. Or do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite Bible verse?
I always get asked that.
And do you?
My favorite Bible verse switches from week to week or month to month.
Too. Just,
I think it depends what I'm experiencing, what I'm going through, what I need from the Word of God that I kind of cling on to. I do have my own little personal verse, but I like to keep that one to myself. But, you know, Philippians 1:6 is one that I just think of often, which is, you're putting me on the spot, and then I always...
No,
like,
I don't mean to do
my
that.
Verses, but being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion until Christ Jesus. So I love that one.
That's wonderful. Well, I know that everyone enjoys following you and watching what you're doing with your faith and everything else with your family. So we're just very proud and excited for you. Like Betty Ann and Lisa have said, we grew up watching you, and it's such a thrill to have you on our show.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and it was great to chat with you.
I know. I know Lisa's excited to talk to you also.
Tell us about your National House of Hope.
This is such a wonderful organization that I've been a part of for about 2 years now, and it basically it houses boys and girls. There's different homes all over the country that are troubled teens that are experiencing difficulties in their life, whether it's substance abuse or cutting or just being from a dysfunctional family, and it puts them through a program that can go up to a year and a half. But it's, you know, it's founded on biblical principles, and the difference of this program, too, is that the parents must be involved, and they have to come once a week, and they have to go to church, and they have to learn also how to help their daughter or their son so that the family dynamic changes once the child has gone through the program or the teen has gone through the program. Mm-hmm. So it's just incredible. It's an organization that was highly praised and endorsed by Ronald Reagan, and it's fantastic. So the goal over these the past, I think, 25 years this program has been going on is to have a home in every major city in the United States, and they're well on their way. So the National House of Hope, you know, if you do know of a troubled teen or someone listening that's just experiencing those difficulties, it is an incredible, incredible place and organization.
Oh, it is. What are the charitable things that you support?
We're big supporters of Compassion International, mm-hmm. and that's sponsoring children that are all over the world, and we sponsor 3 children through Compassion. We also sponsor 2 children from World Vision, mm-hmm. and I support, Skip One is another organization that we're big supporters of, and if you go to skipone.org, it's basically skip something, feed a child. It's not about having a ton of money to donate, but it's saying, what can you skip today? Can you skip buying a magazine? Could you skip your latte today? Could you mm-hmm. skip your manicure? And can you donate that money instead? And the thing about Skip One that separates this organization is that 100% of what you donate mm-hmm. goes to feeding children all over the world, and that includes the United States or North America as well. But there's not many organizations where 100% of your money, because they have other people, donors, that supplement all the costs that they have for administrative costs. Mm-hmm. So that's a wonderful one too. I have other charities that are listed on my website too, if you want to see what I'm involved in. But basically, I love to give where I can, whether that's, you know, financially or just my time. So I have a lot of friends' charities that I support as well, and we'll go to those events and, just be a part of them, do what I can.
Well, that sounds great. You sound like a really good-hearted, lovely person.
Thank you
so much for being on our show. This has been such an honor to have you.
Well, you're very welcome. It was great to chat with both of you.
We'll let you get back to hockey. Were you a hockey game or hockey practice?
It's hockey practice, and they actually just walked out of the building, so it's perfect timing.
Is it ice hockey or roller hockey?
Oh, it's ice hockey. My husband was a professional hockey player, so now my boys are following in his footsteps. Yeah.
Well, go get your sons, and this is just an honor, and thank you so much again. We hope you'll join us another time.
Awesome. I'd love to. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you, Candace. Thanks.
You're
Bye.
Welcome.
Bye. She was sweet. Very nice
that
young
was,
lady.
That was delightful. What a fun memory after
it's
watching
funny to
her
think
show.
That she has kids, teenagers.
I know.
Yeah. We all think
like
of
we were teenagers.
We were
teenagers when she was doing Full House.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So much fun. It was really great.
She's a nice girl. Very nice. Sweet person.
Well, girls, we've gotten lots of response with excitement about our new sponsor, Laura Geller Makeup. We've been posting it on Facebook and Twitter, and a lot of people are very excited telling us how much they love Laura Geller Makeup.
It is. It's nice. I love it. It's
yeah,
nice.
I love it too. Really
so
nice.
After our makeovers yesterday, today I was recreating and trying to do everything that Johnny taught us.
He put false eyelashes. Will you guys ever wear false eyelashes? Like out yourself? Would you put them on yourself?
Well, I have to learn how to do it myself. My daughter knows how to do it. To herself.
A lot of people use them now. It's very, very big.
I know.
Yeah.
And there's all different styles. And Johnny was actually saying yesterday, which I found interesting, if you don't want to wear the entire full lash, cut it in half.
Mm-hmm.
And just apply it to the corners, the outside lashes,
mm-hmm.
wow.
for that extra. Yeah. Oh, just
yeah.
so much
well,
fun. I just
that
love
was,
it.
That was cool. But also going to New York, we went into Henry Bendel's, and they have beautiful accessories there, you know, don't they? Everything
oh,
there
yeah.
is so different. Everything is so different. If you want a different pair of earrings or a different necklace or a different... I was talking to my daughter today because she's really got... My daughter's got style. She just does. And I'm in a clothes rut. I look at the pictures of me yesterday, and I'm like, ugh, I really need to jazz up my clothes. So,
well, like you were saying that yesterday, walking around, how much that the new fall scarf and the fall boots. You know,
that's
it was
thing
too warm here
today. You need to get a pair
of
riding boots that are above the knee.
That
would just like make an outfit, like with a skirt
think
with
so?
Like
mm-hmm.
nice stockings.
What do you think so? About the boots above the knee for everyone, or?
I said, it's just very stylish. I guess you have to find the ones that are in proportion to your height, you know?
Right.
Yeah, well, that's what you have to do.
Well,
and it was so warm yesterday.
Yeah,
you know, you couldn't wear boots for that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be great fun in a couple of weeks to bring out our nice fall scarves, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
that'll be great, and the boots.
Yeah.
But I did notice when we were in Henri Bendel's, because that's such a cool place, mm-hmm. they actually had, there was a gown inside a case, like a gown, and it was made out of folded newspaper.
Wasn't that cool?
That was like the coolest
wow.
thing ever.
Yeah, I think I know what you're, well, yeah, I think I saw it. I didn't
remember
know,
we were standing there?
Also.
Yeah, it was like really interesting. Like at first you didn't realize what it was. You just thought it was like all these ruffles and folds like in mm-hmm. fabric. And then when you looked at it, it was actually newspaper that had been all like folded and mm-hmm. made into a gown on a mannequin. It was really interesting.
Wow. Yeah, for all you folks that aren't familiar with New York, Henri Bendel's is a really, really hip, cool, trendy, it's a very small department store. And they just have, like, really, like, all kinds of cool makeup, and they have all kinds of accessories and beautiful gifts and really some really different clothes, like something you're not going to go find at the mall or, you know, it's really, and it's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the
very
bags.
Cool.
The bag's beautiful. They're black, brown, and white striped bags.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. We didn't
Although I was mesmerized. I was mesmerized when we went into Saks and I saw the display of the Dolce & Gabbana bags. It looked like art.
I know, I
just
know.
I stared at it. It was the most beautiful sight I had ever seen was that display. It was gorgeous.
It's, so, it's always fun to get together when you know, spend time. It was fun in New York
mm-hmm.
yesterday walking around. It rained today here in New York. It rained a lot. I was soaked.
Oh. Oh.
So I was very thankful for our nice weather yesterday, even though it was a little humid.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nice to walk around. We didn't get rained on.
Well, this was a fun show tonight, having Mario mm-hmm. Andretti and Candace Cameron Bure. Great fun. Well, we'd like to thank our new sponsor, Laura Geller Makeup, and also our sponsor, St. Croix Orthopedics.
And everybody stay tuned because our next 10 o'clock hour, we have Immaculée on, and we also have Carol Shaw from Laura Cosmetics.
Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Corey, for being our wonderful producer. Now go do something wonderful.